Your Hometown Podcast, brought to you by Licking Knox Goodwill and the WCLT Radio Group.
NASCAR making its return to Daytona this weekend. Coverage of the Daytona 500 begins at 1:30 Sunday afternoon right here on T100. Joining me now to break down the Great American Race is Jeff Striegel. He's co-anchor on the Motor Racing Network alongside Alex Hayden and Rusty Wallace. Jeff, thanks so much for spending some time with us this afternoon, man.
Absolutely. Glad to do it. As a matter of fact, I'm sitting alongside Alex Hayden right now.
Hey, we're excited for the race. Coverage begins at 1:30 on T100. There's plenty to do for the teams, drivers, and broadcasters like you guys. A couple of rounds of practice yesterday, quali today, duels tomorrow. What's the vibe like going on right now?
Electric. And as we're right now, we just wrapped up media day, at least our portion for Alex and I. And we just left the media center where all of the drivers are making their way through. We spent some time talking to Ryan Blaney, stopped by. Denny Hamlin was there. So we've had a chance to visit with a lot of the drivers. I think the biggest thing is, as we work our way right now through the infield campground portion of Daytona, is knowing that every single spot at this racetrack is sold out for Sunday. Camping is sold out. The grandstands are sold out. Any opportunity to watch the race and have a ticket to get in, that's all evaporated. So I think that's helped lead up to what is always a very big deal, and that, of course, is the Daytona 500.
What's the capacity there? With everything sold out, how many folks are we expecting down there?
Well, we're going to expect about 150, and you can do the math this way. They can put about 40 to 50,000 people into the infield, believe it or not. The grandstands, if I'm not mistaken, hold 101,000.
Right.
So we're looking for a crowd here on Sunday, probably just shy of 150,000.
That's crazy. You mentioned just speaking with some of the drivers earlier, Michael McDowell in the Loves 34 car, last year's Daytona 500 champ. How's he feeling coming back to defend his title, and how hard is it to win two in a row?
Very hard. Very, very difficult to win two in a row.
Yeah.
But as a matter of fact, Alex and I talked to Michael, and he's very confident. They have a fast car. They actually were the fastest car in yesterday's first practice. What does that mean? Nothing. However, if you happen to be the guy on top, at least you can say, we wrapped up practice as the guy on top, and everybody's looking at Michael McDowell. Can he win on Sunday? Absolutely. Is it difficult to win back-to-back Daytona 500? You bet. But I know that if I'm a betting man, I know I would probably put $10 down on Michael McDowell, that's for sure, because if he does win again, it would pay off pretty nicely.
Thank you for the tip.
There you go.
Who are some of the other favorites, and how big of a deal is qualifying to figure out those favorites? You know, for instance, I'm a huge Formula One fan. I know that the starting grid has a lot to do with who finishes where, but it's a little different with NASCAR because it's a little easier to overtake, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, that's a great point. And when you add a super speedway like Daytona or Talladega where they run in the big packs,
yep,
and drafting is so key, I'm going to make it simple for you. How important is qualifying? It's not. Just because you qualify in the pole, yes, there's prestige there. Everybody wants to lead the field to the green flag for the Great American Race. But after lap one, there's a pretty good chance you're still not leading because we're going to see the big packs. We're going to see drafting. We're going to see a driver that's out front get shuffled out of line, meaning that they lose the draft, go all the way to the tail end of the field and have to work their way back up. And they can do that simply by using the draft. So qualifying here tonight, sure, it's important. It's a lot of fun. But at the end of the day, the only thing we're going to know when we wrap up at about 10 o'clock tonight is what driver will be leading the field to the green flag for the 64th running of the Great American Race.
Visiting with Jeff Striegel, co-anchor of the Motor Racing Network coverage of NASCAR. Daytona 500 goes down on Sunday. You know, each year NASCAR looks to improve, obviously, from the year before, and inevitably you get some rule changes. What's changed this season?
Brand new car.
Yeah.
I think there were three things that haven't changed in the car. One is the seat. The other is the dashboard. And the engine. Yeah, Alex was listening to me and feeding me. Thank you, Alex Hayden. Alex is a genius when it comes to all this stuff. All right, what does that mean? It means that every single thing basically on the car that you're going to be listening to or watching on Sunday in the 500 is brand new. The chassis are completely different. There's just numerous changes from the front of the car all the way to the tail of the car. You know, and the big one is the single lug nut on the wheel. Remember, we used to knock five lug nuts off a right front and a right rear when the cars came to pit road. That no longer is going to be the case. They are single lug nuts. So truly everything other than the seat has virtually changed for these cars in 2022.
So other than faster pit stops, what are we expecting to see?
Closer competition. You know, that's the key. I mean, when NASCAR makes a change, and I know that I've been a NASCAR fan for a long time, and I don't always agree with everything that NASCAR does, but I can tell you this, that NASCAR makes a change for one reason, and that is to make it more competitive. From front to back, we're going to see 40 cars take the green flag. NASCAR wants to see... let's use Michigan International Speedway. A lot of your, you know, your listeners will get up there. Yep. They want to see the competition level continue to get closer and closer. And if you look back over the years, NASCAR has been able to do exactly that. I mean, you go back several years and everybody remembers the great Bill Elliott when he literally ran Talladega and found himself two laps down to the leader. Well, he made those two laps up under the green flag, passed the leader, and won the race. That's not competitive racing.
Yeah.
That was cool at the time, but I don't think there's a fan that wants to see Denny Hamlin lap the field here at Daytona twice and go on to win the race. I think we'd tune it out. So, I mean, NASCAR is really focused on making sure that the cars on the racetrack are competitive with one another. You know, and Alex said, I'm going to drop something that Alex said earlier today. What makes the cars different then? Well, the drivers are not the same. The crew chiefs are not the same. The engineers that work on those cars are not the same, meaning that even though you start basically with the same piece, by the time you bring it to the track, you have massaged your car differently than the way that I put my car together and the way that Alex has put his car together, meaning one of us is going to be fast. One of us is going to be pretty good, and the other one is going to be slow.
That's great insight, Jeff. Now, you've been doing this for a long time. You and Alex sitting next to you, both of you savvy veterans. It's not your first rodeo. Do you have a favorite Daytona 500 moment?
You know, I go back to my first one, and that was the year after Dale Sr. was killed in Turn 4, and everybody remembers that. Mm-hmm. My first year at Daytona was the following year, and my spot on the racetrack was Turn 4.
Oh, wow.
So
duty, huh?
We all grow up. Yeah, exactly. We all grow up as NASCAR fans. We all dream, those that are in the broadcasting industry, you want to be at the Daytona 500. And I was fortunate enough that year to get invited to come up with the Motor Racing Network team, and I can tell you that I stood in Turn 4 before I ever said my first words. I was nervous. I was emotional. I know where I come from, you know, short tracks back home in Grand Rapids. That's where I grew up as a fan. For Alex, he grew up on the short tracks. He was a fan. And so when you stand at Daytona, and back then, I mean, we had close to 180,000 people there, and the emotion of listening to the crowd roar and the national anthem and the flyover, it takes your voice away. It takes your breath away. And you're really needing that extra time before they come to you to do what we call the scene set. And I'm glad there was time, because I probably would not have been able to put together a legitimate sentence, because you feel that emotion of knowing that you've worked hard to get here. And now you're here, and you know that you're going to have a million fans listening to you in just a matter of a few minutes, call the Daytona 500.
That's powerful stuff, man, and we are glad that you're there. We're glad you've spent some time with us today. Jeff Striegel, co-anchor on Motor Racing Network's coverage of the Daytona 500, goes down on T100 right here on Sunday at 1:30. Thank you so much for your time, and have a fantastic broadcast, you and Alex and Rusty.
Yeah, you got it. I appreciate it. And thank you and to all of your fans that support NASCAR. We do appreciate it as well.
Have a great weekend, Jeff.
You too. Thank you.